Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick.
You
Jeff
all right?
Loggeman,
you gotta make, it for an hour, JP.
We'll be doing some movie trailers before this night is over.
Yeah, you got a little grovelly
in
going.
In a world where Baselli turns down pizza.
Yeah.
It's Jaguars
Not yet. That's coming. Not yet.
You've been drinking moonshine or something to get that voice like that?
That might help the throat, actually.
Okay.
But, we'll get
glad to see that you're on the injury report and you're here.
Hey, you
stay away from me, though.
You got to be available, right? You
know, Pacelli's like the farthest away that he possibly can be from you.
Thank goodness. Finally, I've been trying for years for that to happen.
Colts. Congratulations.
Colts, Jaguars coming up this week. Colts 6-6, the Jags 4-8. By the way, the Jaguars welcomed the two area high school state championship teams to Everbank Field today. Trinity Christian out of 3A and University Christian?
Yeah.
2A.
Yeah, out of 2A.
2A, 3A.
They were
champions.
Both at the stadium today.
And then Reigns, which is 4A here, played for it and lost to Booker T. Washington down in Miami.
Yeah. Booker T., is that Tallahassee?
No, they're Miami.
Oh, is it Miami?
Yeah.
That's the big-time program.
They've
right?
won it 3 years in a row.
Wow. Congratulations.
They beat Bowles back-to-back years, and then this year they beat Reigns. Reigns had a lead in the fourth quarter and then ended up giving it away. Wow. They had a bunch of turnovers, but Booker T. is a
– three in a row.
They're a really good team.
Mm.
But the best team in the state of any classification probably is Trinity.
Really? You think that if they went against
– Well, I'll say this. They played the 8A, which is the largest division team that was number three in the state.
Do you remember their name?
Orange or something like that.
Yeah.
Anyways, they played them, and in the fourth quarter, it was a running clock. Trinity had such a big lead.
You're kidding.
Trinity is the best team in the state. And unfortunately, the school I coach at gets to play them every year.
Congratulations.
But they're really
– What are you guys doing wrong?
They're really – They're west on the west side over there, and Verlin Dormany, the head coach, does a great job, and they have really good players.
Good for them.
Really good players.
Congratulations to them.
Cool that the Jags reached out and had them at the stadium today. Plenty to get to tonight, though.
I think there's a thing for the high school kids this Sunday, too.
They're going to be in
the
Super Suite or something.
The Super
like
24, or no, like the top 24 kids are going to be honored before the game, I believe, or halftime or sometime.
Not sure.
We'll see. Jags defense. You know, last week we saw the Steelers on Sunday night just hit Hasselbeck over and over and over again. He came out with a rib injury, a sore neck. Well, most 40-year-olds have that anyway, right? I mean,
yeah.
But that somehow the Jags have to get to Hasselbeck. They got to him last time, week four, right? They got three sacks on him, eight hurries.
Yeah, but I don't think it was consistent in that game, if I remember correctly. I mean, just overall, it was one of those games where you just kept saying, you know, because, you know, I remember going to that game, the offensive line for the Indianapolis Colts was struggling. And I mean, both Tony and I were talking about how
Thought
this
was
something
good well game
that you needed to take advantage
right.
of.
Yeah.
And I think overall we felt that they didn't. You know, even though they got three sacks, it was one of those games where the pressure wasn't there. Even though you had three sacks, there wasn't pressure to go along with three sacks. You know, there's certain games that you have 20 pressures and one sack, and it's better than a game that you have two pressures and four sacks, you know, and that was, I think, one of those games.
You know, and if you look at what Pittsburgh did, they gave Hasselbeck a lot of different looks. They rushed three, dropped eight. They rushed four, dropped seven. Then
Which
they brought five.
That
then they brought five
me,
or
though.
Six.
Well, you're talking about a quarterback who's played a bunch of
they
games.
They gave a bunch of different looks, and they got pressure. And when they dropped three, I mean, they rushed three, dropped eight. They covered well, and there was nowhere for Hasselbeck to go, so he had to scramble and got hit. Hmm.
Part of the issue right now for Indy is their communication to the field from the press box or from the coach's box upstairs. It goes with the new offensive coordinator upstairs.
Rob
Chudzinski. And then down to the field, then back into
the
game.
It was Clyde Christensen, the quarterback coach.
And then into the headset of Matt Hasselbeck and Andrew Luck in on the equation. Now, there's like four different moving parts in that right now.
Yeah,
and
with the crowd noise and all that. I don't get that.
I hope it's really a struggle, and I hope they mess it up every play.
I mean, it's been working. I mean, they've been, what,
4-1 under Hasselbeck.
Under Hasselbeck, but 3-1 since they made the change with the offensive coordinator. So you're kind of wondering, okay, well, why is there this communication thing kind of going on? I mean, it should have been a relatively seamless transition. Because, I mean, the language stays the same, right?
They didn't change the language.
So why is this? I don't understand that.
Maybe the new coordinator might not have been as involved with the system before. Who knows?
Maybe not. His title was assistant head coach.
Yeah, but Chud's been a head coach. He's been an OC. I mean, it's not his first rodeo.
It's football, right? I mean, it's not that can't be that hard.
No, but I mean, if you're the assistant head coach and your specialty is offense, he should have known all the terminology to where you don't have to have all that interpretation. But whatever.
Who knows? Let's make it an issue again this week. That would be fantastic. Offensive side, hey, it's up to this offense now the rest of the way to kind of prove their consistency, right? I mean, you put up 39 points, the most you've ever scored in a loss in team history. We'll go out and score 30 again. You're not going to lose every one of those games, you would think, right, if you keep scoring 30 points. Just go play well the rest of the way.
Well, they got to play well, but at least what you've seen defensively the last couple of weeks against San Diego and then against Tennessee – offensively, you're going to say, listen, we need to go score 24, 28-plus points. Because right now our defense is struggling to get pressure on the quarterback. And while Hasselbeck's not going to – you know, they did a great job. You know, they held them to 13 points in the regulation last time. So you're hoping that you get that repeat performance and offense plays better. If I remember correctly, they didn't do a great job in the red zone last time they played the Colts as well. So hopefully they fix that. But you even look down the road, you got, you know, Matt Ryan, who's not playing great but still a very good quarterback. You got Drew Brees coming up on the schedule. And so offensively, you say, listen, we need to keep the pedal down and keep it going. We need to score.
Because right now the defense is struggling a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, pretty simple. I mean, that was, 467 yards allowed, right?
Yeah, that was the second most this season behind the Patriots.
Yeah, let's say you take out the scramble by Mariota. You're still at 380.
Yeah, but I don't like doing that, Jeff. I hate when coaches
do that. No, I know. We
did great against the run except for the one, the two explosive plays. I'm like, well, those count.
That changed the game. Right?
Yeah, but 87 still
that
counted.
Out, that's right. Even if you took that out, you gave up 380 yards, which is more than what you've been given up on a per-game basis. You know what I mean? That's not a good day either way.
For me, it was last week, and I know I don't want to rehash last week too much, but it goes into this week. The one thing this team could hang its hat on was run defense. And –
Anthony,
whatever the back for the Titans is,
Antonio Andrews.
And Antonio Andrews, I mean, played very well and ran the ball very well. They got pushed around up front, mm-hmm. I thought.
And it was more on the perimeter. Like Roy Miller still played well. I thought Tyson Alualu played well. But anything that they got on the perimeter is where they were struggling. Which, you know, when we talk about run game.
And the linebackers were not as aggressive.
Linebackers, corners, safeties are more – you know, dependent upon to stop in that run to where they get it to the outside. And the tight ends, obviously for the Tennessee Titans, pretty good run blocking group as a whole.
Did a great job.
And did a very good job. Did a really good job. You know, because all of a sudden if you're running the counter and it's going outside or you're running the read option and it's getting outside and a safety linebacker comes in and then he fills that gap and then it goes to the next gap, then it's on the safety, and if that's gap filled, then it goes to the cornerback. And that transition from defensive end, which the Leos didn't play very well against the run, to the linebackers, to the safety, to the cornerback, that's really where the performance wasn't great against the run.
A lot of talk this week in talking to the coordinators and Coach Gus Bradley and all the players and such about tackling and the challenge of working on tackling during the season, because you can't get out here on the practice field and take anybody to the ground.
Yeah, but I'm not a big believer in that you teach tackling. To me, tackling is, one, being in position, two, being aware of what the play is so that you are in position so your angle is good. And then once you arrive, it's taking care of business. You know, and having a little bit of an attitude about it. I mean, there was one play that Grotz comes in, and, Tony, you know the play I'm talking about. We were looking at it on the plane ride back.
It wasn't one either. But
no, there was more than one.
Yeah, the one I know exactly what you're talking about. It could have been a 1 yard gain and it
blew
being
him
seven.
Up. Could have blew him up, you know, right at the line of scrimmage or 1 yard down the field.
Ends up coming up soft and
chokes it down, you know, and
turn around 6 or 7 yards.
No. I mean, come in with, you know,
bad intentions.
Some anger. and deliver it. I mean, Devon House came in one time, which surprised the heck out of me, came in on one play where he was required to come up and fill, and blew the guy up. And I'm going, who was that? It was 31. Oh, nice job, Devon. You know, but I mean.
Wasn't that, consistent, though, enough no. from anybody. Gotta but you got to figure it out because, listen, the Colts at the very core of who they are, and Gus talked about it with Jeff on his show, is they want to run the ball. Ever since Chazinski became the head, offensive coordinator, it's more concerted effort of getting in 12 personnel, 21 personnel, and even in their three wide package, which is 11 personnel, they want to run the ball with Frank Gore. They're going to run inside zone, a little bit outside zone. They're going to run the counter, pulling the guard and the backside tight end. They want to run the ball if that's what they want to do.
And they haven't done it very well. In the last three games, you look at Indianapolis-wise, one game I think they were like 1 point something yards.
Well, Frank had
carry.
20 carries for 28 yards or something ridiculous.
I mean, the last three games have not been good for this Indianapolis offense. Now running the football has not been good.
I'll say you'd watch this team in general, and I know they're 6-6 and we're 4-8, but I turn on the tape. And, Jeff, I don't know about you. I'm like, we're better than – I mean, we should win this game.
Should have won last time.
Should have won last time. You should line up, and you should come into this game if you're the Jacksonville Jaguar players and say, we're better than this team. Offensively, as an offensive lineman, if I was playing, I'd line up and say, there's no one over there that can beat me, and I'm going to beat them, and we're going to be more physical than them. We're going to protect the passer, and we're going to do what we want to do offensively. Because I'm a big believer. If you can block up front, you can do whatever you want.
If Paul Posluszny is not available, or if he's playing with a club or a cast or whatever,
I don't see him playing this week.
No.
Not this week. Maybe down the road, but not this week.
Hurts the run defense because he was out of the Tampa Bay game too. Right.
Here's the thing: you have surgery, okay? Some kind of incision, right? Where they go
in
somewhere.
You don't want that thing to bust open.
And the last thing in the world you want is something happening to that. Or number two is the risk of infection. I can't imagine, I mean, game day, the sweat, the dirt, everything else that could possibly get in there within such a short time frame, I can't imagine them wanting to risk that.
Even if Paul wants to, I don't think they'd let him.
Yep.
And my guess is he wants to, and my guess is they're not letting him.
Of course.
Well, the Jags' run defense will miss him.
Yeah.
Right?
I can picture Paul Posluszny. Let's say they put pins in there, you know. And he's got this cast and his pins are sticking out. He'd use it like the old clubs, you know, the old clubs that they had back in the old days with spikes sticking on. He'd probably love to use it like that.
I guarantee you, if they let Paul Posluszny play, he would play.
He would be like, what was the linebacker that played for the Los Angeles Rams that played with a broken leg?
Jack Youngblood.
Yeah. That's the kind of player that Paul Posluszny is. If he had to do it, he would do it.
I think he's part cyborg. I really do.
He might be.
He's a tough dude.
Yeah.
He might be.
Robo linebacker. Plenty to get to tonight on Jaguars Thursday. We'll come back and take a look at the next step for the Jags offense. Join the Jags tomorrow for the coolest 5K in Duval, the Jaguars Stash Dash, set for tomorrow night at 6:30 at Everbank. Registration includes a ticket to the Jags-Colts game this Sunday, an official race shirt, and a complimentary drink ticket. Visit Jaguars.com for more information. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
The Jags will host the Jacks Games tailgate party December 20th before the Falcons game, featuring world number one BMX rider Jamie Bestwick and 23-time X Games skateboarding medalist Andy McDonald. The band The Struts will perform as well. Entry is free with any ticket to the game. Call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com/tickets. Jaguars Thursday.
That's,
JP Shadrick.
That's this Sunday, right? The Struts?
That's the Falcons game.
Oh, that's Falcons game, which is alumni weekend.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I think there are about 50, is that right, Tony? About 50 former Jaguars going to be in town for that next weekend.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Looking forward to that.
How many were here last year for that?
A bunch.
About the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, about the same. It's, it's becoming a good weekend because, you know, guys are coming to it. You know, a lot of times when teams have that, nobody shows, you know, but a lot of the former Jaguars are and have been coming, and it's good to see. I know that I can't remember who put it together. Maybe it was Kevin Hardy or somebody put together a day of golf.
I think it's Stroud.
Stroud put it together. That's right. And so,
are you going to play that?
No, I don't play golf.
I know. I thought you'd just go out there.
I might. What time's tee?
I don't. It's Monday.
Tea time.
It's called Monday
tea
after.
Is it Monday after?
I don't remember.
I can't do it.
It's called tee time. Is what it's
called.
Yeah,
tee time. Yeah. I don't even know the lingo.
That's right.
I thought it was Saturday. That
is it Saturday?
Playing.
I don't know. Let me pull it up.
You might want to work.
Let me pull it up.
This portion of Jaguars
Thursday. I might go drive the beer cart.
Is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers.
I thought you were going to say you might drink the beer.
Great. No,
I'd be good at driving the beer cart.
Yeah, you would. Jaguars offense. 5 touchdowns for Blake. That's a new franchise record. There's no such thing as a new franchise record. It's a franchise record for touchdowns in a single game.
Yeah. By the way, Tony, I'm going to interrupt you here for a second.
Great. Go ahead.
Saturday.
It is Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday, Queens Harbor, 10:30.
Oh, you're going to...
You going to play?
I'm scheduled to.
Okay. What does that mean?
Yeah,
I'm scheduled to. You're either playing or you're not.
No, I plan on it. I mean, it's Saturday. I have nothing else. You might as well go play golf.
I might have to go be a caddy.
What was the last time? How often you played now, Tony?
Zero during the season. Since August, I've played in 2 charity events, and I played golf with some buddies 1 time. Mm. During the offseason, I try to play at least once a week, maybe sometimes twice a week. But during football... From the start of August until the end of January after the Super Bowl, I just don't play.
Ryan Robinson said that's a good thing. He said you're not very good at it.
I beat him every time.
Former Jags PR director.
He's usually paying for it.
That's a good thing.
5 touchdown passes for Blake. 27 now for the season. A-Rob with 11 for the season. Receiving had 3 in the game. You get Allen Hurns back on the field this week to go with Marquise Lee. Rashad Green sounds like he's good to go. You got a full assortment.
I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity. So the Colts defensively like to give a lot of different coverage looks. But one thing that's consistent, they trust Vontae Davis playing man quite a bit. They'll play some 2-man to his side, meaning the safety's over the top. But a lot of times they'll play man to his side, rotate the safety to the other side, play some type of combo coverage with cover 2 over there with him man backside. If I'm Blake Bortles and I see Vontae Davis on Allen Robinson,
throwing it,
I'm going to him. Because Allen Robinson, it's a great matchup because Vontae Davis tries to get physical with you. And I think that's an outstanding opportunity to throw to A-Rob and let him go win the physical matchup.
I think if you got A-Rob man on anybody, you're going to have all the confidence in the world to throw it to him.
And they're going to give him a lot of opportunities the way they play defense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, you know, going forward, now that Allen Robinson – I mean, it's been like a media blitz this week. I mean, Allen Robinson has been everywhere. He's been on Pro Football Talk. He's been on national radio shows. He's been everywhere. And does the perception affect the kind of respect that he gets on game day? You know, I mean, the coaches always watch the film, and they always say, well, we're going to base what you know we do based on what we see on film. Coaches are human. They start hearing about a guy, and ain't no different than Odell Beckham. I mean, when you get ready to face Odell Beckham, are you basing everything that you do completely off of film or reputation?
A
little bit of both,
yeah,
right?
Both. You know, it's interesting, Jeff, I was watching the tape today, and it hit me that for the last 2 years previous to this year and part of this season, I always felt like the game plan of a defense was to come play 8 in the box, take away the run and force the Jags to beat you throwing the ball because they struggled throwing the ball. They struggled in the passing game. Young quarterback, not a great offense at all last year. Even at the start of this year, you know, like we're going to stop the run, let the young quarterback beat us. I wonder if teams are going to start showing more too high safety looks because the reality is right now the best part about this offense is the passing game. It'll be interesting to see the shift in the defensive philosophy when – teams face the Jaguars.
Here's the thing that kind of stood out to me, you know, looking at some of the numbers from around the league. You know, Allen Robinson, 65 balls, 1,080 yards, 11 touchdowns. And who is viewed as the best wide receiver in the National Football League right now?
Odell Beckham.
Odell Beckham, right? Okay.
Not Julio Jones. I know you're an Alabama guy. It's Odell Beckham.
Well, he's first in yards.
Odell Beckham's numbers. Okay, he has 13 more catches. He only has 74 more yards. And he has one less touchdown than Allen Robinson. That's impressive now.
Well, A-Rob has one of the best yards per catch.
Yeah, it's 16 and a half.
For anyone over.
He's actually first in the league over 40 catches to qualify.
Guys,
yeah, I mean, he's first in average. So.
But, I mean, that's, you know, when you start dropping Allen Robinson's name in the same category as Odell Beckham Jr. Wow, right?
Yeah, we talked about this on Monday night, the perception of is he a Pro Bowl player this year? It's hard to get that first.
He is a Pro Bowl player. He's that quality of a player, the way he's played this year. I don't think he'll make the Pro Bowl.
Always takes 2 years.
Because of usually you have to have a good year, and then you do it again.
Off season.
And listen, it helps when you win. If you're if the Jaguars were 8-4 and Allen Robinson was putting up these numbers.
And in New York?
Well,
forget about it.
I mean, but if you forget even about in this market, if
but you, 8-4, you'd have some flex games, some primetime national
even
games
in this
and stuff,
even right. in this market, if they're 8-4 leading the division, Allen Robinson would be a Pro Bowl player mm-hmm. this year. That's just the way it works. Is it fair? No, but it's the way it works.
Yeah,
takes 2 years.
He'll have plenty after that.
It takes 2 years to make the Pro Bowl, unless you're on a winning team and a big media market.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
Allen Hurns back on the field this week. Seems like he's good to go. Coming off the concussion, missed last week's game. Probably was good to go last week, but like we talked about last week, the perception, you don't want that to happen at all.
You couldn't
put him
that.
Out there. So he's ready to go this week. And he got an extra week to get everything else a little healthy.
Which should be good for him. Yeah. You know, the groin, groin?
Foot groin.
Whatever. Yeah. And I know, three things on the injury report for the last couple weeks.
Right.
You know, now it's three once again, but I think he practiced yesterday, and then today they backed him off a little bit. Is that right?
That's correct. Full yesterday, limited today.
Yep. So I expect him to be fine, and the reality is that if he takes a hard hit, what are we going to be doing?
Yeah.
We're going to be holding our breath.
That's right.
You know, that's just kind of the way it is, you know, because.
Not me.
I will be just because, you know that once a guy, just like a boxer, I mean, you get concussed, the frequency of having it again on something that's not as major, I think is higher.
He, on Jaguars.com Live Wednesday, told me that he plays with no fear over the middle.
Yeah.
You say that, right?
No, I believe it with Allen Hurns. I don't think he'll be thinking about it one bit.
No, he's 23 years old, 24 years old.
I don't think he'll worry about it.
You know, I mean, you play that way when you're that age. You know,
I mean, and it's who he is. I mean, it's just who Allen Hurns is.
Yeah. Warrior, you know, gladiator. I mean, that's the mentality when you're in your early 20s. You know, and the older you get, I think as a player, I don't want to say cautious, but you have a little
aware.
Bit of a different approach and have a little more awareness.
Awareness and trying to protect the investment a little bit, right?
Sure.
Yeah,
that's part of the deal.
Yeah. Extend that career as long as he can. You're talking about moving this two safeties up if the Jags offense continues to go like that, right? Does that open up the run game for T.J. Yeldon a little bit?
Absolutely. I mean, the mindset of an offense is if you're going to get two high safeties, you have to run the ball. If you're going to get an even box matchup, meaning you have a man for a man, they don't have the extra guy, you got to run the ball because then the advantage is if you do your job and block it properly, the advantages to the defense.
Yeah, and it's –
I mean, advantage to the offense.
For people that maybe have a hard time understanding an extra guy in the box, it's math, okay?
Okay.
Oh, it is. It's,
it's simple math.
Yeah.
Okay, and like a base defense, okay, when you have, you know, two wide receivers, a tight end, and two running backs, okay, eight in the box is considered fortified run front because you have – seven blockers in the core that can block those eight guys. You always have an unblocked defender. When you go to a three wide receiver set and you have six blockers, putting seven in the box as a defense would mean fortifying the box. You have six blockers for seven guys, there's always an unblocked defender. So that's the ultimate goal that every team wants to get to, that they can remove that extra guy from the block, from the box, that is unblockable, and it opens up running lanes. That means you get the old rule of thumb: hat on a hat and off to the races. Okay, so that's
and it goes back to, if you look back years ago when the Jags had Henderson and Stroud, they were a two high safety team and could play. They could play
in base defense,
seven
in the box,
seven in the box, because they felt like they could win.
They're so stout up front
that they would play coverage and. And they had one of the best defenses in the league for years.
And how you would do that, and a lot of times what in Mike Smith's defense back then, because Stroud and Henderson, we used to call them four-gap players. So they could play two gaps either side of them, and shut it down. And so what they would do is push everything to the perimeter, and then your corners, depending upon if the run goes that way, kind of become
run
like a half guy in the box. But you have to be able to push it to the boundary. And with Stroud and Henderson, you used to be able to do that. The Baltimore Ravens with Siragusa and Sam Adams used to be able to do the same type of thing. They didn't have to pack the box. Now, they did on occasion, but they didn't have to because those guys were so good.
We'll come back and take a look at the Jags' defense. The weapons for the Colts. What do they have that they didn't have? Anything different from week four? We'll break them down a little bit more. And the matchup with the Jags defense this week. And we'll read the injury report for the Jaguars. A few guys banged up this week. A little later, we'll look around the National Football League in Week 14. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses in Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli.
Yes.
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 That's you.
That is us.
That's you guys.
Good ID.
Yeah, thank you. Just resetting the show.
Oh, it's outstanding.
That's what we call it in the business, yeah, Tony. Jags Colts coming up Sunday, and what's besides obviously the offensive coordinator? Anything different besides that for this offense? Playmakers still the same.
Well,
Hilton's still there. Obviously,
I'll say one thing. I mean, T.Y. Hilton is still there, but I don't.
He didn't do a lot last week.
Yeah, I don't see. I mean, watching last week and then watching some of the previous games. With Andrew Luck, he would look at T.Y. Hilton all the time.
Dante Moncrief is the guy now.
Yeah, Moncrief is a little bit more targeted. And to be perfectly honest with you, I don't know if Matt Hasselbeck has the arm to throw it to where T.Y. Hilton is the most dangerous, you know, as far as over the top.
That's fair. Everything's underneath.
You know? Whereas Moncrief is that bigger body that works in
those slant
in that area that, yeah, you know, I think Matt Hasselbeck feels comfortable with, whereas – you know, T.Y. is the guy that, you know, you let him go on the outside and throw it up.
Didn't Fleener have a big game against us?
Yeah, Fleener and Dwayne Allen both are going to be big parts of the game plan for Indianapolis with Matt Hasselbeck back.
I like Dwayne Allen better. I mean, as far as like a
he's a more complete player.
Complete tight end, blocks
he's
well.
He's an inline tight end who has athletic ability to hurt you in the pass game. Fleener isn't the old H-back. He's a tight end.
He's a pretty boy tight end.
Yeah. I think that's accurate.
You know, doesn't like to get dirty blocking. Likes to be
good
in
hands
the slot.
Though.
Got good hands. Okay after the catch. Probably thinks that he's a better receiver than he is, and doesn't think that he has to block as well as he needs to. Just from watching him on film. Whereas Dwayne Allen, you ask him to get dirty, he's going to throw mud all over himself. You ask him to make the catch and pound out some yards, you know, through three defenders, he's going to do it. Love Dwayne Allen. Now, he's a guy now that's overcome some issues now. He had, what was it, a hip? Had the hip injury that required surgery. And so tough guy. Tough guy. Clemson guy.
And then the other big change is just up front. Jeff and Coach talked about it, but it's been a revolving kind of musical chairs, I guess is a better way to say it. With Costanzo being out, they moved Wrights over to, you know, left tackle, bringing in the rookie Denzel Good, who I don't think is very good.
No.
He doesn't move very good.
Doesn't have very good feet.
Nope. You know, they brought the center. The last time we played, it was Khalid Holmes was the center. He did not do a very good job. Jonathan Harrison, second-year player at Florida, is now up there. Hugh Thornton's been out, and so Lance Lewis.
Yeah, Thornton's only missed one game, though, and he's already practicing this week.
So he's back. Yeah, he's back full, but he was out last week. So it's a little bit of a, you know, I don't think they were very good before. Now they played well against us. But Joe Wright's at the left tackle. He's not real athletic. He gets turned very easily. You can get the edge on him. Same with Denzel Good. And the center, Harrison, struggles with the power. Doesn't have a great anchor. So, you know, there's opportunities. There's opportunities to make plays. There's opportunities to get to the quarterback. Now, we say that, and we haven't figured out a way to do it with four-man rush yet.
We've heard this before.
So I'm not going to say we're going to rush four and get there. you would hope by watching the film.
I think the best way to say it is that there's a better opportunity this week, but will it happen? We'll see.
We've been saying that for 3 weeks, though, now.
More than that, right?
Last week, the only good offensive line, in my opinion, on the Tennessee Titans was left tackle Taylor Lewan. Right tackle, Byron Bell. I mean, he's not very good.
They missed some holding calls on him now.
They did. He tackled on the, you know, but listen, that's part of the game.
Yeah.
You know what? Like anything, if you're a great pass rushing team and you put a lot of pressure on the quarterback, you get more holding calls because you're officials are human.
Reputation.
Right. Reputations. Like, you shouldn't be able to block these guys. And we don't have that reputation.
And Tony's right. Reputation gets a lot of calls. I mean, like big-time wide receivers, you know, if they throw their hands up, you know, and the defender just barely touches them, a lot of times they'll get the call. Mm-hmm. You know, the great pass rushers that have been around the NFL. I mean, Bruce Smith got more holding calls.
I remember we played him in 90.
How many times did you get called
on
holding?
Only once.
On Bruce Smith.
But then I got more respect, and then so it was like.
Then they stopped calling it.
But I remember.
He still whined.
Every play. In 96, in the playoff game, I remember up there, he tried a spin move, and I threw him to the ground. And they called.
Just blocked him.
Punched him. He spun, and I snatched him to the ground. And he's laying on the ground. And back then, you could gouge him, so I jumped on him, which he was losing his mind. And the official says, "You held him." I'm like, "I held him about three plays ago, but I didn't hold him on this one." I mean, but what would happen is he would complain every play to the official, every play. 71 told me, hold me, he told me. Now he used different language.
Right.
But I remember sitting there going, come on, I mean, it's hard enough to block this guy's defensive player of the year, and now you're going to give him a holding penalty?
You know who does a little bit of that? Your boy in Houston.
J.J. Watt. Oh, yeah.
Cries every play.
Every play.
And because he's a great player.
He gets the benefit of the doubt.
He gets a lot of holding calls, and he also gets away with a lot of things that should be called for hits to the quarterback.
Absolutely, late hits.
They give him the old two-step rule. Whereas if anybody else in the league does some of the things that he does as far as hits on the quarterback, because that's something that they keep track of, and that's something that he leads the league in is hits on the quarterback. I would love to have an honest official grade how many of them were worthy of a penalty call.
I have every official in the league see. Yeah, just to compare.
But you'd have to change the way the player looks. I mean, like run it through a computer so that they don't know that it's J.J. Watt.
Right.
And I guarantee you the percentages would be very different.
Yeah. Let's take a look at the injury. He's a fraud, by the way. Watt.
He's a fraud.
Fraud. Yeah, I've said that.
Stop the music for a second.
I've said it on here before. Yeah.
I know, but why do you say he's a fraud?
Oh, just throwing to the kids. Everybody does that kind of stuff, right? It's a showboat.
Okay, but
is it his
fault that the everyone does it, but is it his fault that the cameras follow him?
No, that's fine.
So how is he a fraud then?
I just don't like it.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm getting tired of it. I'll be honest with you.
Would he be a fraud if he went to Alabama?
Maybe.
Would he be a fraud?
No.
Would he be a fraud if he was a Jaguar?
No, well, he'd be our fraud.
Fair enough.
Injury report. Chris Clemens, Veteran Day yesterday, back today. Jonathan Cyprian did not practice yesterday with a stinger, back today. Dan Scuda, limited but full today, limited yesterday. Otto back in the field.
Good news there.
Good to have Scuda back.
No pause. That really is helpful. Mm. My guess is Tripp gets to start middle back or two.
Sounds like it. Sergio Brown, hamstring, limited both days this week. Alan Hearns, limited today. He should be good, though. Roy Miller did not practice Wednesday, limited today with a knee injury. Jeremy Parnell on the report for the first time today with a knee. The right tackle's been playing pretty well, though. Right?
Limited or did not practice?
Limited today.
Okay, that's good.
I thought Jeremy Parnell probably had his best game
last
week. He was outstanding.
Run blocking and pass protection.
He was really good.
You know, Gus said it this week. If you don't really notice it, that's probably a good thing, right?
Well, I notice really, it because I watch it.
You watch him, but like in general, the flow of the game, you don't notice, hey, he's just blocking everybody.
Well, right? I just enjoyed watching him play this week. I mean, listen, I'm a little different. I enjoy watching offensive line. I mean,
yeah, you're strange.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense most people, but I like watching good offensive line play, and it was fun to watch him.
Nick Jacobs, hamstring, limited both days this week, and then guys have not practiced this week. Ryan Davis with a knee injury. Paul Posluszny, of course, with the fractured hand, and Brian Walters with a tight back. So those are your injury report for week 14.
Yeah, I think the thing that I'm most excited about is that Rashad Greene is not on there because yes. You know, you remember he left the game last week, didn't come back, and then after the game, you know, every NFL team has X-ray facilities, et cetera, at the stadium, and Paz was going there to get X-rays on his hand, and all of a sudden there goes Rashad Greene, and Rashad's got that arm tight to his body, and he's holding it in, and you're going, oh. And you're not worried so much from him being a receiver, but
teams.
The return game, the boost that he's given this team in the punt return game has been immense, and you want to have him, especially against a team that the last time you played them, you know, field position could have made a big difference in that ball game because you didn't have a punt returner that kind of made you hold your breath.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing health care for good. We'll come back and pick some games in Week 14. Park, ride, and relax. JTA Stadium Shuttle makes game days more enjoyable with hassle-free trips to the stadium. For ticket details and parking information, visit jtafla.com. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Check out the Hanania Automotive Group. They've got 10 brands, hundreds of vehicles to choose from, and thousands in savings. This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com.
Yeah, we were talking about in the break how the game has changed. Some for the better, some for the worse, in my opinion. But it was a much different game even a decade ago.
Oh, and how they treat the quarterbacks, that's probably the most drastic change.
Well, I would say, I think how they treat everybody. I mean, we were talking, and as an offensive lineman, and when playing against a defensive lineman, if I got a guy on the ground, I was going to try to gore him. And what that means, I was going to hit him on the ground, I was going to lay on him, I was going to put my forearm in the back of his neck, and I wasn't going to get up until the whistle was over, until he was pushing off. And if you do that now, it's a penalty.
Yeah, because again, did you watch the Indy Pittsburgh game?
Parts
Sunday
of it.
Night. Did you see it? The guy that's starting at center for Pittsburgh? What's his name? Anyway, he went after a guy that was on the ground.
Penalty.
Flag.
Yeah, and that's not. I don't like that. That's part of the game. And listen, it's a very physical game now, but the fight between the offense and defensive linemen was, I think, more physical. In just the nature of it, I think it's just changed a lot. And in some cases, to the advantage of where it's harder for the defensive lineman when it comes to hitting the quarterback, because there's such a small window you can hit a guy, and it's almost not fair to them, and they get penalties all the time for something that's completely inadvertent, just barely touching the helmet. It's an easier position to play than it was when Jeff played, because when Jeff played and when I played, you could cut on the back of the guy's knees. You could hands to the face on both sides was not called. You could just
leg whips.
I mean, leg whips weren't as that was a little bit before me. But it was a different game. It was I mean, you play defensive line, you better be tough because you're gonna get, and you can clean piles up. I'd clean guys out. I remember getting cleaned out by defensive players. I mean, you better have your head on a swivel. You better be ready to go. Mm. And some of the rule changes, I understand you want to protect the players, but it was just – I'll say this, it was a fun game to play.
As a defensive lineman, though, you'd rather have the rules today in the small window than the rules, you know, less chance of a knee injury and all that stuff, right?
I mean,
to run around than less on the quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, for your own –
for your own personal –
yeah, for
game,
your own
right.
personal health, yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
But the rules as far as how they've changed on the quarterbacks, that's kind of – taking the fun out of the game a little bit, I think. I mean, I remember one time we played the Houston Oilers in New York, and Warren Moon threw an interception.
Oh, you could take – if they chased.
Back then it was
– free game.
If he's on the field and it's an interception, you can hit him all you want.
Oh, they go after him.
I lined up Warren Moon and drilled him. He never even saw me. And he went to get up. I drilled him again. You know, and the ball's 30 yards down the field.
Part of the game.
Didn't matter.
And which I think that's how it should be. I mean, because here's the other thing. What I don't like, the other thing is, and it protects guys like me, if there was an interception as an offensive lineman, you thought long and hard about chasing if you weren't near it.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was a defensive lineman or a linebacker that was coming to line you up and light you up. And so I remember all the time I'd be chasing guys, and as I'm running full speed chasing, I'm looking around going, watch out.
I mean, one of the most notable was the Warren Sapp play, right?
Yeah. And that changed the rule, and you can't even peel back block anywhere on the field anymore.
Not anymore.
Listen, I get it. It's a big the safety of the game, safety of players, concussion issues, and obviously this movie's coming out, which I'm not going to comment on. It's changed. Some good, some bad, some indifferent. But it's still a great game, and it's still a very tough game, very physical game.
You want me to throw this out there?
It's up to you.
It was pretty neat. Did a little bit of filming for the Gus Bradley Show today, which airs on Saturday night and Sunday morning, and had Luke Jokel on for the little segment that we do, kind of get away from the NFL talk and talk more so you get to know the player a little bit better. And we had Luke Jokel on, who had a really nice game against Arakpo last week.
Played well.
Yeah, played really well. And I threw a question out there to him about, have you ever stopped to think about that if you were a redshirt in your first year at Texas A&M, that this could be, and you were a fifth-year senior, that this could be your first year in the National Football League?
Yeah, about that.
Which is kind of wild, right?
Yeah,
and he actually brought up that he goes, yeah, and he goes, you know, the amazing thing is that when A.J. Cann got here, the Jaguars draft pick from South Carolina this year, he says, I went up to A.J. and said, hey, man, good to see you again. And he said A.J. looked at him kind of all funny and because they had played together in the 2010 Under Armour All-Star game that was held in Orlando, Florida together.
Wow. How about that?
That's pretty cool.
That's wild.
It's random. Man.
And he said he went up to A.J. and A.J. didn't remember him at all.
Left a lasting impression.
That's wild.
That's pretty cool. I don't think that's been out yet. That's something, and you just learned by that segment.
Yeah, I did.
A little bit more.
I did. Got to learn more about Luke.
Let's look around.
Also learned he doesn't have his college degree. Got to work on it.
He only went for 3 years.
Yeah, I know.
What do you want? Well,
he's got to get on it.
Not a road scholar.
Got to get on it.
I think he'll be just fine.
Let's look around week 14 and pick some games. We'll start tonight. Good one. Minnesota at Arizona.
Minnesota does not have the firepower to keep up with Arizona. They're missing three or four defensive starters as well. Arizona's going to win that game.
I think that's a must-game watch. If you look at Adrian Peterson, 1,182 rushing yards, leads the league. He has five games with at least 125 rushing yards. He is an
absolute – shut down last week against Seattle.
Absolute stud.
Shut down completely against Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he had 30 yards even.
What's Teddy's numbers? 8-8 or something like that?
Yeah, he's not very good this year.
Yeah. Oh, they got the run game. So who you got, Jeff?
I'm taking Arizona.
Arizona, you're taking.
I just love Bruce Arians. Love the job that he's doing.
Doing a good job, for sure. They're
with that SC quarterback, Carson
Palmer. I thought was washed up 4 years ago.
You were wrong.
I was.
I think he was at USC when I was in high school. New Orleans at Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay, in the playoff hunt. Remember when we lost to them, which, again, we should not have lost of. It was like the worst thing you could ever do is lose to Tampa Bay because they're terrible. They're in the NFC playoff hunt right now. Give Lovie Smith and Jameis Winston. It's funny how things change. Opening weekend, Winston versus Mariota. Winston threw his first pass. It was a pick six. Mariota threw three or four touchdowns. Oh, everyone's convinced Mariota's the better quarterback. Mariota's going to be very good, but so is Jameis Winston, having a great rookie year.
Two different teams, though.
Oh, yeah, different teams.
Tampa's got a much better roster.
But Jameis is playing well. Jameis and the Buccaneers win that game.
The run that he had last week was third and long. Really impressive.
It really was.
He's a competitor. And you know what they say about him? One of the smartest football players in that building. Really works hard. I'm impressed with what Jameis does. If he keeps his, you know, everything clean off the field where, you know, he had some issues in college, he's going to be a franchise quarterback and a really good one.
How many touchdowns against the Saints defense?
I think he throws three.
Does he run for another one or two?
I don't know. What do
on,
I look
Tony?
Like?
Yeah,
JP?
I mean, Swami. Seattle at Baltimore.
Seattle.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
All day.
Oh, wait, the question is who's going to be playing quarterback for Baltimore?
Concussion.
Matt Schaub went through the concussion protocol. Supposedly was cleared, but the Jimmy Clausen is the backup to Matt Schaub. Jimmy Clausen has already played Seattle when he was with
Chicago, maybe?
Whoever he was with earlier
Chicago in the earlier year.
Which I think only happened like five or six times that I was reading
in
NFL history.
It didn't go very well the first time, so let's not try it again if I were to Ravens. But it doesn't matter. Seahawks are playing great football.
They are hot.
Russell Wilson, 11 touchdowns in the last three games against zero interceptions.
Big game for the Steelers in Cincinnati.
Maybe the game of the week. Steelers.
That's the game.
Steelers offense is unbelievable. You know, Antonio Brown, obviously everyone knows about. Martavius Bennett, I believe his name is.
Martavis Bryant.
Bryant. Thank you. I knew it was a B. Martavis Bryant.
They got one other one.
The Wheaton.
Wheaton. Marcus Wheaton.
Marcus Wheaton. Three great receivers. Yeah. And Big Ben playing very well. Yeah. I said him already. Yeah, okay, D'Angelo Williams averaging almost 5 yards a carry against the Bengals, who are really good defensively. The Bengals are beat up in the secondary. So I'm going to pick Pittsburgh because it's a must-win for the Steelers.
Reggie Nelson was in a boot this week. Mm. Leads the league in interceptions, I think, mm-hmm. with 7. So that's an injury watch right there for the Bengals.
And it's supposed to be mid-60s in Cincinnati
taking?
In December.
You know, I'm going to take Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh has to win. They're in 7th right now out of 6 for the, you know, 3rd in the wild card. They're only obviously take 2. But Cincinnati, it's important for them. They're trying to keep – they're in the number one seed right now, and they're trying to keep that number one seed so they get the home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
I think this is going to be a game in which after the game everybody starts saying, yep, there goes Andy Dalton again. Yep. Can't win the big one.
Yeah, you might be right.
Carolina at home trying to stay undefeated against the Falcons.
Falcons were 5-0. They're now 6-6, 1-6 in the last 7. You know, the geniusness of the Dan Quinn and all those guys. I'm not saying he's not a good coach, but be careful what you get called too early in the season. Matt Ryan, 17 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. They don't have a lot of weapons as receivers outside of Julio Jones. Devontae Freeman, I think, missed last week with concussion. He'll be back this week. So I'm going to go with who.
What happened to Roddy White?
I'm going to go. He is old. He is old and slow. Carolina wins that game.
Yeah, you know what? I've been picking against Carolina so many times this year, I'm not going to do it. I'm taking Carolina.
Yeah, might as well be right once.
I mean who would have thought? I mean, yeah. Week one,
Cam's
we're sitting there
right
looking
now,
at
right?
the rosters going.
We felt like we should have won the game.
Yeah.
No doubt.
And here they are undefeated.
Pick 6 was the difference of that game.
Yes, it was.
A roster that didn't have a proven wide receiver.
That was
a tight end.
Missed extra point, and it would have been 10-10 at halftime. And then after that, it was back and forth. If it wasn't for a pick 6.
It was Norman, right?
Different game.
Yeah. Different game.
Cam's the MVP right now, right?
Oh, gosh, yes. Without a doubt. Not he doesn't have the best numbers.
Yeah.
Right now, it's between Carson Palmer and Cam Newton in my book. Carson has better numbers, but what Cam is doing leading that team is so impressive. If I had a vote, Cam Newton.
I'd take Cam.
And look, you hated Cam Newton as a quarterback.
Oh, he's having a phenomenal year.
His smile bothers me.
I like it. I like everything about Cam Newton. I could do with less dancing, but I love it.
Cam Newton's smile bothers you. J.J. Watt's a fraud. You got anybody else on that list?
You're feeling kind of bad
with a little illness.
Let's see if I get some other games here. Let's get through the rest of these. Buffalo at Philly.
Philly.
Buffalo at Philly. I'm going to go Philly.
San Francisco at Cleveland.
Who cares?
I'm taking Blaine Gabbert.
Blaine train. Lions at Rams.
Again,
Lions.
Who cares?
Lions.
Lions, I'll take.
Redskins at Soldier Field against the Bears.
Redskins are leading the NFC East right now.
Yep.
Amazing. I'm going to take the Redskins.
On the road.
Yeah, their defense coordinator is my college roommate, one of my best friends. So.
Homer pick.
It's a Homer pick, no doubt. But I'm announcing it's a Homer pick. I'm going with the Redskins.
Well aware. The Titans and the Jets in New York.
Jets.
I mean, their defense
they
is so
you.
Good.
What are you, of course, you're
going to
pick.
No, I'm not biased.
Yeah, you're a homer.
Homer pick. Chargers and the Chiefs.
Oh, the Chiefs are going to kill them. The Chargers are done.
Chiefs are
D-O-N-E, and the Chiefs have not lost since Jamal Charles got hurt.
It's incredible to think about.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oakland and Denver, Mile High.
Good game, better game, but Brock Osweiler doesn't throw interceptions. They have a great defense.
Supposed to get DeMarcus Ware back this week.
Yeah, and they're going to just get better. I think Denver beats Oakland.
Dallas at Lambeau.
Lambeau's going to win.
I don't know. Jeff, I've watched a bunch of those Green Bay games because I did 2 of them. Their receivers.
I know, but Tony,
by the way, I'm glad we didn't get Randall Cobb.
Cowboys,
I'd rather have our receivers.
The Cowboys can't score points.
I'm going to go Green Bay.
New England at Houston, primetime.
I got the Texans.
I'm taking the Texans.
Something's wrong with the Patriots right now, man.
Let me adjust. JJ's got a broken hand.
It doesn't matter.
And Patriots lost 2 in a row. They're not going to lose 3 in a row. Patriots.
Texans are going to win. They can't block that front for the Texans. They've struggled. Gronk practiced today, but I don't see them letting him play. I like the Texans upsetting the Patriots.
Colts, Jaguars.
It's no brainer, Jags.
Jags all day. For Jeff Loggeman, Tony Maselli, Joe Fortunato, this is JP Shadrick. We'll see you this Sunday at Everbank. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.